the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And the next reading is from the first chapter in Colossians, beginning at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We join in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on toward your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Between the familiar words of Psalm 8 and the letter to the Christians in the little town of Colossae, a long time, a whole world, you could say. Centuries have passed. Back in the time of the psalm writers, you wouldn't have been able to see very much beyond the borders of Israel. The great empires of Egypt, Babylon, Syria carried on with their empire building, their harrying, their raiding. Eventually, Babylon anyway, with their invading and destroying. But no one could see. I mean, there were hardly any maps to speak of. No one, I guess, could see really how big it all was, how far it was from Alexandria to Jerusalem to Babylon. Little knowledge at all of what was happening in China, South America. A few fantastic tales from travelers along the Silk Roads, but little more. But you could look at the stars. Probably you could see more of the stars than we can today with all our light pollution. Though some of you will have seen lots of stars, perhaps from a ship or in a distant land. It's vast, isn't it? You couldn't help yourself then, I imagine, could you? Imagining, wondering, and feeling quite overwhelmed, quite small. The words of the psalm. O Lord, our Lord, How majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. Wonder, amazement. Few scientific pontifications back in those days, still assuming that the earth was the center of everything. Still, imagine them looking up. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. To have made all this, from the farthest star to the baby in a mother's arms, from distant galaxies to rivers, rocks, and trees. It's where faith begins, really. Of course it does. How could you not look and wonder and believe? By the time of the letter to the church at Colossae, a great deal had changed. Empires had come and gone. Now Rome was in the ascendancy, and now you could travel more easily. Now the simple faith of Israel, born in the desert, forged through the trials of a people, had to make its way in a world of many religions, all over the place, all kinds of different ideas. But still, night after night, the stars. And still the old view. God above, human beings below, God's often inscrutable ways, human beings often destructive, life-denying ways. But in the days of Colossae, after Christ, who lived and died and lived again, something new. All of this, from the farthest star to the baby in the mother's arms, from distant galaxies to rivers, rocks, and trees, all this was made through and for that same Christ. And by the mystery of his death, that was more than just his death, all things in heaven and earth would come to be reconciled through him. All things. Here we are, centuries later still. So much more has changed. So much more is understood about the ways of the world, the size of everything, the distances in the universe, the fragility of the natural world, the destructive, life-denying ways of human beings. And in our time, faith is no longer just a matter of looking at all this with wonder and believing. But still, the stars and the rivers and rocks and trees and the pollution and the destruction and the regret at what we have done to it all and the fear about what might yet happen when the world changes. Temperatures rise, sea levels rise, pollution levels rise. But still, somehow, at the heart of the thing, the mystery, the message that we proclaim. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things on heaven, in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Hymn is number 620.